and dipped it in the sour wine and gave it to Jesus. And I took some of that hyssop, and if you've ever had the smell of hyssop, it's a beautiful smell, and I put it in my Bible, and I was looking for it, and I can't find it. And the reason why I was looking for it is because I wanted to hold it up and smell in front of you as I was watching that. The smell is so strong, even still, that little branch is all dried up. It's disconnected from the bush, but the branch is still emitting a strong scent of hyssop. And I can't find it. It's gone. But maybe for tonight's argument, it's even better that it is gone. Because here's the reason why. My Bible smells all over like hyssop. It's actually wonderful. That hyssop left an imprint on my Bible. When a parent raises up a child, and as a child is growing up, what we say, how we say it, what we do, where we do the things that we do with our kids, the messages we send, it all puts a stamp, an imprint upon them. And we saw Wayne here crying where 50 years ago, he remembers the date and what happened and how much and what a broken home resulted in him having to become the breadwinner, or in his case, the one who went and stole money so they could eat. The imprint, it's still tender on his heart. And we're looking at tonight, part two in our series of being a Christian while being a parent. And of course, you know by now, we're in Colossians chapter 1. And it is verses 9 to 14 that shape this entire aspect of the Christian life. Who am I in this world in relation to the Bible? And what is God's word to me as a Christian? People are absolutely freaking out in America today like I haven't seen in a long time. Did you hear today? Did you hear that the CEO or the chief financial officer of either Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac hung himself? Did you know that he's the fifth corporate executive in a matter of weeks to kill himself in America? People are losing hope. But God's word brings us hope, and these things that you and I have, they will fade away. But a life that you and I bring into this world, either through adoption or through birthing, listen, the truth of the matter is, it's our parenting that really matters. And so in Colossians 1 verse 9, it says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will." That's awesome. You have no idea. If you've been born and raised a Christian, you have no idea that wonderful statement in that verse, that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. So many people who are even religious don't even have that privilege to know. Maybe they're in a cult or they don't have a Bible. But God wants you to know what His will is for your life, and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, and He makes you worthy to walk with Him. He's so great. He's the absolute parent. He washes you off. He scoops you up. He cleans you up, and He brings you along, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. The knowability that God allows His children to have of Him is awesome. God wants you to know Him, and He's to be known. Don't take that for granted tonight. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. That means Christians. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hands. In fact, how many of you are Christians? Raise both your hands. I just want to see them up here. That's an awesome look, let me tell you. He has delivered you. You are not going to hell, says God. That is awesome. He says so. He's made you worthy. He's done all the saving. Again, if you've been messed up in a cult, you don't know what that's like. To have the assurance of salvation, we take it for granted. But you have it tonight. Not because what we've done, but because of what He has done. That's why we worship Him. That's why we praise Him as we do. So He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, transported us, transplanted us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through, not my blood, His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Last time together, we looked at this first point about being a Christian and being a parent, and that is that we are to be praying, and that a Christian parent prays for the wisdom of God to even be a parent. It is overwhelming to think, oh Lord, what is this that's coming into my world, this child? And we pray for our kids. And as parents, we're developing the future of our children as we pray for them. We pray that God's blessings would be upon them. And we think about Abraham. And we think about all the spiritual patriarchs that you and I get to know. We get to read their mail in the Bible. We get to read their diaries and their notes. How they laid their hands on their children and prayed for them and blessed them. Parents, touch your kids. Put your hands on the top of their heads. Grab their shoulders. You say, Jack, my kid's taller than I am. Then reach up there and grab his nose or something and pray for him. There's power in that. Secondly, we looked at as a Christian parent, we search out God's word because we know that we have the opportunity that nobody else on the planet has, and that is to infuse God's plan for our children into their lives. We want to teach them that they will find the answers for their life and the direction for their life in God's word. I love in Israel, they'll have a Bible. And I think this is a great practice for those of you who have young kids. You ought to start doing this. And they'll take candy and in the family Bible in the house, they'll take candy and put candy in the pages of the Bible. So the kids, when they're young, always run to the Bible. You say, yeah, but they're running to the Bible to get candy. Hey, you're training them to run to the Bible. They get candy. And isn't it cool? Because out of the Word, it says in the Scriptures that the Lord's come and taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Jeremiah says, I found God's Word and I ate it. And when I ate it, I found out that I'm called by His name and my heart rejoices. Wow. What a great thing. A friend of mine, he's a Yemenite Jew. That is, he's from Yemen, but he's Jewish. And he's from Yemen, and his family, having moved to Israel, check this out. In Judaism, in Yemen, they take the scriptures, and did I already tell you this? Well, I'm going to tell you anyway. And they learn to read the scriptures from childhood all the way up, spinning the Bible around 360 degrees. They learn how to read the Bible from every angle. From 360 degrees, as they turn the Bible around on the table, they learn to read the Word of God because they say God's Word meets us at every angle, every path of our lives. From every angle, you should be able to recognize the Word of God. Is that not cool? Kids love that kind of stuff. And we as parents, we have been given the God-ordained ministry to infuse into our children a Christ-likeness, and that comes from the Bible, God's Word. We saw point three last time that as Christian parents, it's our desire to direct our children toward God. We point them toward the Lord, and we talked about being a parent and having your kids see the butterflies and see the heavens above and take chapter and verse, start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, or maybe Psalm 19, and point out to your kids, the heavens declare the glory of God. And let them know that, let them see that. It's exciting. Fourthly, we looked at being a parent regarding as a Christian parent exemplifies the Christian life. Our kids are watching our lives. They're learning much more by and from what we say and do. They put those things together. Little kids are brilliant. Have you noticed that they can't even talk yet? They're still in diapers. They're amazing. And you can say to them, by this time they've just kind of learned how to walk. And you can say to them, bring daddy the paper. Bring daddy the paper. They can't talk. They can't spell, but what does that little girl or boy go do? They with the noisy, they go over there and you look like they're going to crash and burn any second, and they grab the paper and they come back and you wonder as a parent, how did he know that? What? That's incredible. They're little sponges. And as they get bigger, they're sponges still. I don't mean that in a negative way. Shame on you. Listen to you guys. I meant that in a good way. They're constantly taking in. They're always listening, even when you think constantly taking in. Where's your mind tonight? All of you need to repent. But they are constantly drawn in. God has ordained the parent's position. And it doesn't matter, again, if you're a biological parent or if you're an adoptive parent. The fact is, parenting, God has anointed to have that power. It's tremendous. And then number five, we looked last time that it's ordained by God. A parent has been ordained to be the parent. And then number six, where we left off with Wayne's video clip of his life, we looked at number six, a Christian parent knows their child best. Nobody knows your kid like you do as a Christian parent. Now, tonight you might be here and you might be saying, well, I'm not a Christian and I love my kid. I'm not knocking that. God bless you. And that's wonderful. And that's super great. But you'll never understand a true relationship with God, really, and I think, in my opinion, in a deep way, until you'll never understand servanthood and discipleship until you get married. I want to be in the ministry. Get married first, and we'll talk about it later. Serve your wife, serve your husband, then see if you can serve the church. But man, I tell you, when kids come along, people always want to have their expert opinion. And then I always ask them, well, listen, you know, Pastor, I think you should do children's ministry this way. Well, have you ever been involved in ministry before? No. Do you have any children? No. And right then, I just tune it right out. I mean, I might look like I'm listening, but my mind is somewhere else. A parent knows what's best for their kid like nobody else on earth. And we touched on this verse. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. That's an interesting verse. It's often misquoted and misunderstood. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Some people say, well, I raised my kid in the ways of the Lord, so I know he's saved. Even though he's a bank robber, a murderer, and a rapist, and a mugger, and a thief, I'm sure he's going to come back to Jesus someday. That's not what that verse means. Sorry to burst your bubble. You need to keep praying for your kid if he's wayward from Jesus, because maybe he doesn't know Jesus. The verse means train up a child in the way that he should go. It means that the parent is to study the personality and the characteristic traits of each individual child. Remember last week I said how you can have two kids who come from the same parents and they come from the same spot. I've been in the delivery room. They came from the same spot. And they're completely different people. You think if they came from the same place, you could, hey, we've done this before. Number two is going to be like number one. Are you kidding? How many of you have two or more kids? Raise your hand. Are they not different people? It's almost like God goes, watch this. And he gives you a spitball. Just wham, here comes number two. And it's like, you know, we know how to parent. We raised a kid. Just wait till number two comes along. And then number three, number four, number five. And that's why people keep having kids. It's like, what's coming next? I got to see this. How can people be so different coming from the same spot? Because God is in all that, and not one person's the same when it comes down to the details. It's amazing. And you and I are to study our children. Do you have kids? Study them. What do they love? What are their interests? What are their propensities? What are they leaning towards in this life? Is one more analytical than the other? Is one more auditory of a learner and the other one more of a reader? Know them. And when you know them, then steer them in that direction. Oh, I could go off on this. There was I won't, but I'm close to. There was such a huge debate in early America among our founding fathers in the United States Congress. Did you know this? That they said, you know what? We've got a great concern. The kids are being homeschooled and they're just so smart. But you know what? We fear, by the way, Dr. Benjamin Rush, Benjamin Franklin, and Daniel Webster came up with this idea. And Thomas Jefferson, four of those guys, came up with this idea that I'm going to tell you about. They said, and you can read it, Library of Congress. They said, we have a concern. Kids are being homeschooled and they're brilliant and that's great. But we fear that we're losing control of the kids. And we need to create, listen, a public school system that will require the Bible to be taught in their curriculum. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope this is on film. Do you have this? This is in our founding documents. You can read them in the Library of Congress. that these four founding fathers said, we need to start a public school system to ensure that the Bible is taught in public schools. That's the founding of America, and you don't even recognize it. You have never even probably heard that before. That's how far we've drifted as a nation from God. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so, with instruction, as you look to that child, as you learn about that little guy and that little girl, steer them in the way that they show interest towards. And for those of you who have the time, you go back and you research the upbringing of some of the greatest scientists, for example, or those who have had a great influence, both positive or negative, in our world. Have you studied? Have you read a little bit? I've read only a little bit, but enough to make me sick. Have you read the upbringing of Saddam Hussein? Have you taken the time to look at how his relationship was with his father? Did you know Saddam Hussein was severely abused as a child? Beaten, molested, abandoned, horrible life. You look at the life of others, say, on the positive side, where a man had a horrible life and would never give up. He was told to persevere. By the way, it just so happens, I'm picking on this guy because he's a great guy, but it just dawns on me that he was a tremendous believer. And I've had a chance to personally, with my own eyes, see his Bible. I couldn't touch it, but I got to see it. I was only about 18 inches away from it. And that's Abraham Lincoln's Bible in Washington. And did you know he learned from the scriptures to persevere? You want to find out? You think you've got hard times? You ought to read the life of Abraham Lincoln. Everything that guy touched turned to nothing. His kids died. His wife died. I mean, his life was a mess. He ran for office. He kept losing. He got sick. He was a mess. He was also famous for being one of the, or if not, the ugliest politician America has ever produced. Did you know that? And one of the candidates running against him, this has nothing to do with the message. I don't know why I'm saying this. One of the candidates running against Abraham Lincoln said, you know what? I accuse you, Lincoln, of being two-faced. And Lincoln said, are you kidding me? If I was two-faced, do you think I'd be wearing this face? Isn't that a great comeback? What a great line. Well, as we learn from Wayne, it's either surfing that you'll hide yourself into or something else in life, or it's surfing or something else in life that you're developed, that God wants to use in your life. Here we go, picking it up where we left off last time. Now our study begins and then it's almost over. Number seven, a Christian parent forms a God-centric worldview. That's up to a Christian parent to get a hold of your child and to form within them a God-centric worldview. Number one, that God's the creator. Come on out and listen to Ben Stein's movie and find out why that's important. That God made everything. That God made them. That God cares about them. When you tuck them into bed, parents, listen, if your kids are small enough, I say, here's what small enough means to me regarding this issue. If they still live in your house, I don't care if he's 6'9", tuck him into bed tonight. That was great. Talk him into bed. Listen, he's in your house. If he's living in your house, parent, you can do anything you want with him. If he's eating your food, you got all rights. But he's 45 years old. He's eating your food. You're going to tell him what to do. If he doesn't want to listen to what you want to do, boot the guy out. You tuck him in the bed and you tell him, listen right here, right now. God loves you. God designed you. God made you. Now tomorrow get up and go get a job. A God-centric worldview. Your little kids running around. I tell you, you know what, you guys? I don't even know it was this week. I've been blasted by time and then just going too much. But very recently, in the matter of the last few days, you know, it's been so warm and all this stuff. And I looked out and there were two monarch butterflies mating in our backyard. And I've never seen that happen before. You know, those things are big, for one thing, and beautiful. And I didn't know that when they lock together, they just kind of fall down to the ground. And then they hit the ground and they break away and they fly back up and they do that again. And I saw that. I've never seen that before. So I knew that my daughter Rebecca was over at our house. And I said, Rebecca! Rebecca! She comes running in the room. She, I don't know what she thought. What? I go, look at that. And we stood there and we watched this. I've never seen that before. She has grown up hearing, Rebecca! Look at that. A God-centric worldview. Listen, you can do it this way simply with your kids. I remember Britt Merrick. He made my, Al Merrick, his dad, world most famous surfboard shaper in the world. Kelly Slater uses all of his boards, all that stuff. I remember Britt made my daughter, Ashley, a surfboard. And he said, come on up and pick up this board. And so we drove up to Santa Barbara. And before we drove up there, I said, Lord, show us something really cool today. Now, she was about 18 years old at the time. And I said, Lord, just show us something really cool today. You guys, this is a God-centric worldview. My daughter heard me pray it. I prayed it out loud as we're driving down or driving up, heading out the 101 up the coast. What happened? Tons of dolphins were leaping in the waves and out of the shore that we could see from the 101 highway. And I said, God, thank you for showing something. That's really cool. Parents, start doing that. Yeah, but Jeff, what if God doesn't show us something cool? You know what? Those of us who just got back from Israel, did we not pray that every day on the bus? I'll grab the microphone. Lord, bless our day. Keep us healthy. Keep the driver safe. All this stuff. And show us something cool. And he did every day. From Israeli attack helicopters flying across the desert to storks migrating from Africa up into Northern Europe. We saw it. God does that stuff. Parents, just do it. Show them a God-centric world. It's amazing. 1 Kings 22, 42 to 43 says, now Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shahai, and he walked in all the ways of his father Asa. He did not turn aside from them, doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Did you hear that? Jehoshaphat did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Where did he learn it from? From his father. That is awesome. A child comes into the world and they're like a blank book and you write on them what you say to them, what you do to them, what you guys experience. Their mind and their soul and their spirit is being imprinted with emotion, pictures, thoughts, just that smell as they could smell the hyssop of my Bible from that trip. I told you before, growing up as a kid, my dad, I remember hanging onto my dad's hand as a little kid and smelling his forearms. And whatever he used for soap, if I smell that smell today, it reminds me instantly of where I was at, how little I was in San Diego, of my hanging onto my dad's arm. What about you? Take a smell of something. Or have you heard a song? Immediately. You know how your brain goes back to that place like that? Man, as a parent, we get to instill that kind of stuff in our kids every day. It's awesome. A God-centric worldview we are placing into our children. Tremendous things. Number eight is this. A Christian parent surrenders their child to God. Mom and dad, listen up. This is not going to be comfortable for some of you. A Christian parent must surrender their child to God. Sooner or later, you're going to have to surrender your kid to God. Sometimes, I spoke at our ministry on Monday night here, Seasons of Grief. And you go around that room, you ask people, you find out from people that what is it that they're grieving, what loss is it in their life. This ministry is for those who have lost someone dear to them. And you know in that room, it's husbands they've lost, wives. Some of them have lost their life partner, husband married almost 50 years, you know. How do you continue on? And then you come around the room, oh, it's our daughter. We buried our daughter 12 years ago. That shouldn't happen. You shouldn't have to bury your kid. But it happens. It doesn't have to be through death. In most cases, parents, we have to learn to surrender our kids to God. When Ashley was 8 months old, she got sick. Lisa took her to the doctor's office in Anaheim. She got a shot. We had no idea that our youngest daughter is allergic to much or many forms of antibiotics. They can kill her. She has a very rare form of a disorder called Stevens-Johnson's syndrome. You get a certain antibiotic in you to kill you. And she started to react so fast, Lisa rushed her to the hospital. The hospital rushed her to St. Joseph's in a pediatric critical care unit. She was all by herself. She is quarantined, 8 months old. And the doctor, the pediatric hematologist came out. They said, listen, her blood's infected and she has about a 50% chance to live. You know what you do at that moment as a Christian? You go down to the cafeteria and you sit down there with your wife, and your wife sits down with me, the husband. Lisa and I sit down together, and you know what? You're overwhelmed. And it is the most fantastic moment when you are reminded that you did not create this child. God did. He brought her into the world, and you are faced with this immediate, unrelenting demand of God. She's mine, let her go. Abraham did that with Isaac on the altar, didn't he? He's mine. Your child belongs to God. And I remember Lisa and I were praying and we just relinquished. Okay, Lord, you're right. She's yours. And I remember, I'll never forget, we're in the cafeteria. It was a Saturday. And by the way, back then, Pastor Chuck Smith did about 4 weddings a day on a Saturday at Calvary Chapel. Lisa and I were sitting there, and we looked up, and Chuck Smith was walking by heading out of the hospital. He's supposed to be doing weddings on Saturday. Pastor Chuck! Pastor Chuck! What are you doing? What are you doing here? Ashley, he says, I know. I know Ashley's here. I was just up with her in her room. And he said, I prayed for her, and he goes, I think she's going to be fine. Now, he doesn't say things like that. He said, I just think she's going to be fine. Well, that word didn't come to us from Pastor Chuck until we had given her up. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mom and Dad, do you hear what I'm saying? You see, Jack, it doesn't relate to what I'm talking about because my kids are about ready to go to college or get married or they're just at home. Listen, you're going to have to give them up. In some way, shape, or form, you got to give them up. The Bible says that in 1 Samuel chapter 1, you can read that chapter in detail later, but Hannah got pregnant, remember? Remember, she couldn't get pregnant? Then she got pregnant. She cried after the Lord, I want a baby. She didn't have a baby. She couldn't get pregnant. Then God said, I'm in control here. I'll open that womb when I want to, and I'll close it when I want to. And God, the Bible says, opened her womb, and she got pregnant, and she said, Lord, I dedicate this child to you. This is your baby. When that baby comes out, this is your baby. And when Samuel popped out, she said, Lord, this is your baby. And Samuel grew up to be a prophet and a kingmaker for the nation of Israel. Hannah gave him up before he ever came out. Are you pregnant tonight? Are you adopting? Are you in the process? Dedicate that child now to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's one verse that will take the entire rest of your life and mine combined. Trust in the Lord with all your heart versus lean on your understanding. That's trouble. Trust in God or lean on yourself. No, God says, look, trust in me and don't lean on yourself. You can't lean on yourself and trust God at the same time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We teach our kids to be, listen, Christians, we teach our kids to be dependent upon God and independent from anyone else, including mom and dad. Hear me out. You are their parent and you will always be their parent. But part of the parent's job, as I said last week, is to not be their best friend. You are to be their parent. You are the authority of their life from the day go until the end. And that's death. And you're to have a very special place. And you lead them and guide them and steer them. All the while, a parent's goal is to breed into their child a sense of independence from man, including parents, and a dependence upon God. It would be wrong for you to teach them an independence from man without a dependence upon God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Boy, it's quiet in here. Don't lean on people, son. Lean on the Lord. Son, daughter, people will let you down. I'm not freaking you out. I'm not blowing your mind. I'm just going to tell you, people with the best intentions are going to let you down. That's just part of humanity. But God will never let you down. Teach them that. Instill that within them over and over again. Number 9, a Christian parent never retires from parenting. I said parenting, not parroting. Oh, what do you want for breakfast? What do you want? No, parenting, not parenting. Mommy, I want this. You know, you see some homes and the kids is, I want this now. What do you want now? Like you're a parrot. You're a parent, not a parrot. You're the parent. And the kid is to not tell you to take the trash out. Hey, Mom, the trash is getting pretty full there. You ought to be thinking about taking it out. No, that's what you do. Until you leave here, you're the trash man of the house. I'm dead serious. How do you think they're ever going to have their own home? Oh, we want to have our own home. What is? Can Dad come over and mow our lawn? Are you kidding me? You get Junior out there, and I don't know how to start the lawnmower. He needs to learn how to start the lawnmower. They need to learn how to save money. Inevitably, it seems like every day. I know today, for me, it was a dime. Don't you see a penny, a nickel, or a dime laying around somewhere every day? Or am I just really cheap? I found a dime today. Teach them not to walk past the penny. Pick that thing up. Well, I'm sure it's just a penny. You know, hey, pick it up. It says, in God we trust on it. That's worth something. Pick it up. You can't believe you're talking like this. You should praise God you are not my kid. They need to learn responsibility. That's how they're citizens. That's how they excel in their jobs. We've got this culture of ours that has flipped out. Gimme, gimme, gimme. That's how Barack Obama got elected. I'm not being funny right now. He promised people everything. And now that he's in, by the way, he's dumping on you, isn't he? He's bailing out on the promises. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. And we knew what he was doing. But all the young people, more than ever before you in history, swallowed it. They hadn't lived long enough to figure out. Politicians lie. Sounded good, though. And now he's between a hard place and a rock, man. He can't. All the liberals are upset with him now. The Code Pink people. Did you see what's her name? Sheehan and her team. They're all upset. And Republicans are upset. The Democrats are upset. And Ron Paul's upset. Everyone's upset. You put your trust in man, you're going to get messed up. Parenting. We prepare them for the world. And we'll never retire from that. Your kids still call you, hey, Dad. You know, they might be 40, 50 years old. They're calling you up, Dad, what do you think I should do about this thing? Well, tell me about it. Did you pray about it? What's the Lord telling you to do? Third question. Let's talk about it. Tell me about it. Did you talk to God about it? Let's talk about it. Parenting, you never retire from that, no matter how old you get. You'll always be their parent. That's a cool thing. Proverbs 23:12, we're almost done. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. This is if you want to live on your own and have a normal, awesome life. Apply your heart to instruction instead of handouts, and your ears to the words of knowledge. Do not withhold discipline from your child. If you punish him with the switch or the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. So what does that say? Before I answer what that says, our culture has become so godless and so perverse and so Bible-less that parents don't know how to be parents. And because they have no self-control, they've grown up in a culture, maybe they were brought up in a non-Christian home. And so for them, discipline is child abuse. Isn't that California? California is so sick and so godless that if a parent spanks his child for doing something wrong, for, you know, blowing up the cat or throwing a brick through the guy, your neighbor's window, and you say, now listen, come on in the house, and you're going to get spanked for that, and you can't play with your Xbox for 3 days. Californians now have been taught that that's child abuse. We have lost our minds. Even Dr. Spock, remember that guy? Dr. Spock said, I was wrong. I was wrong. He said, Dr. Dobson was right. I was wrong. Mom and Dad, listen carefully. Your child, your daughter, your son, it depends on the age, of course, but even from when they're little tiny things, when they go like this, you know, you say, how am I going to know? And by the way, come to the parenting class. How am I going to know when to start disciplining my child? It's so fun. It's so easy to know. Because listen, if you love your kid, you're going to discipline your child. Look, I have never disciplined my neighbor's kids. You know why? I could care less. They're not my kids. But doesn't the Bible say the Lord disciplines his kids? And any kid that's not his, that he does not discipline, is not a child of his. The thing is, we get messed up because from the start we were off the course. This is what you do. When you're a little kid, and you'll know it, those of you, how many of you have kids that are like 1.5 to 2 years of age? Raise your hands. Several of you. So watch this. This is how you know when it starts, when it's time. When you say, when they go over there and they go to reach the vase, and they're so smart. They'll go like this. They'll go like this, and they'll go. Have you noticed that? Am I not telling you the truth? How? What? How? Why didn't you just grab it and run with it? He goes like this. And you go, no. No. And then he goes like this. No, I will. No, no. And they go like this. And then they go like this. And you know what they're doing? They're going, you ain't man enough to take me on. I'm in control here. I'm the one wearing these squishy pants. You don't have it in you to put me in my place. Besides, I'm a son or a daughter of Adam and Eve. And it's in my DNA to do this. You know what you do? You go right over and you go like this. You take their little hand, just as hard as I'm doing it right now. And you go, no. And usually, hear the tone? The tone, and this is just a movement. This didn't hurt them whatsoever. You go, no. And you know what? You know when you won, when the will is gotten, when they go, you're done. It's over. Listen, early little development, mom and kids, you have little kids. Mom and dad, listen carefully. From the when you start out like that, it's easy the rest of your life. It's amazing. And then as they get older, okay, listen. When they're 11 years old and they say, well, I don't have to be home at the time you tell me to. Now, you can say, listen. Come over here. You guys, there is always, you might say, well, what if my kid's 18 and he's 9'6", you know? You don't spank him at that age. Are you kidding? Oh, what do you do, Pastor? Like, you knock him out? No. Does he have a bedroom in your home? Does he live in your house? Yes. Then take the door off the hinges. You don't spank him. That's a joke. Yeah, come on, go ahead. You'll break your hand. Take the door off the hinges and say, listen, when you join the human race again, I'm going to put the hinges back on your door. I'm your father. I pay the bills. You keep this up and you're going to start sharing in the bills. No door on your room for 3 days. You mess up again and it'll be off for a week. Choice is yours. Choose wisely. Dead serious. See, I can't believe I'm... You know, I'm going to get so much mail for this, but let me tell you something right now. The Bible says, in fact, if I ever just be quiet and get to the verse, listen to this. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod of correction imparts wisdom to a child, but a child left to himself will bring disgrace to his parents. You ever seen a kid that's never been corrected? I challenge you. Go right over here. It's brand new. It's called Toys R Us. It is amazing. You should take a video camera. Don't get caught because I think that's illegal, but... Watch parents and kids at Toys R Us. The kid starts, he starts foaming at the mouth in the parking lot. It's like that little Schmeagol guy in Lord of the Rings.
Precious.
And they get in there and they go freaked out. And they see something. Watch the little kids. They'll grab a toy and they'll go. And you haven't said anything to them yet. But you're going to say, put it back. And I have seen, the Lord's my witness, I have seen kids smack their mom's faces when the mom insisted on putting the toy back. After the kid smacked the mother's face, the mother put the toy in the basket. Then I went over there and I smacked the mother. No, I didn't. But do you hear what I'm saying? If you love your child, you are going to... It's easy to instill within them the response of yes. It's another thing for them to learn no. It's good for them to learn no. No, you didn't get the job. No, I don't love you. No, I'm not going with you to the prom. No. Are you with me? It's vital. It's important. Number 10, because we're out of time. A Christian parent continues to influence their children. It's never going to stop. Why? Because we're creating within them a heritage. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, only be careful, God says, and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen and let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Teach your kids and grandkids the things of God. Deuteronomy 4:7. For what great nation is there that God has so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon Him? The influence of God in our lives is huge. Mom and Dad, our influence never ceases with them, even though we may be dead and gone. And then Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is near to all those who call upon Him, to those who call upon Him in truth. And I want to end with this. It's one of the points I mentioned a little while ago, but you can close your Bibles. We're done. I want to leave you with this. Mom and Dad, I talked about surrendering your kid earlier, surrendering them over to the Lord. When time comes, when that man comes into your daughter's life, that God shows you this is the guy. Or when that woman comes into your son's life and God shows you this is her. The way I just phrased that is assuming that you have the ears to hear what God is saying to you, mom and dad, about your son or daughter. This is the one God has for my kid. When your son or your daughter comes to you and says, you know what, mom, dad, I think she's the one. Now, you guys know the rules. According to scriptures, we are to have our kids to be believers, and our kids are to marry believers. It's rough enough. But the scripture says, do not be unequally yoked together. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, don't write it down because there's no verse up on the screen. I'm making this up right now. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they're in agreement? And so when your son says, Mom, Dad, I think she's the one. The Lord has shown me these scriptures. I think she's the one. Stay involved in their lives. But Mom and Dad, don't withhold them. Well, you know, I don't know. You're only 35. I don't know. Watch out. You got to give your kids to the Lord. And that's what you're doing now. I don't care if you're pregnant to a child or if you're 80 years old and your kids are old. You got to keep surrendering your kids to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. The practicality of your scriptures are awesome. And Father, we pray that as parents, we will be faithful. And as we prayed last week, so we pray again. If in the context tonight of the hearts that might be here saying, Lord, I messed up. I blew it when I had a chance. I wasn't a Christian. Raising my kids, I didn't take God seriously. My kids are so messed up because of me. Listen, my friend, you convert that concern to prayer. And here's the amazing thing about our God. Wherever your kids are at in the world, and no matter what they may think, God has given you the ability to get on your knees. And you can pray for them. It's God's will that they be changed and come to the knowledge of the Lord and to love Him. And it's God's will, we know from Scripture, that relationships be restored. Father, we give you these things. Make us better parents. And make us sons and daughters that honor, show respect, and be a witness. So, Father, we give you our children tonight, Lord. There's all of us here tonight, and for those who have kids, we are saying, Lord, take Susie, take Johnny, take and insert your child's name right now. Take that child that you name. And Father, prepare them for the life that you have created for them. Let me not be in the way of it. Let me be a tool in it. Father, we thank you and praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name. Tonight, as we close in this song of worship,